2 Thessalonians. We're in Revelation chapter 13, but I want to read from 2 Thessalonians to start with. Because again, Revelation chapter 13 is the, it's not in chronological order, but Revelation 13 introduces us to the Antichrist, to the false prophet, to the mark of the beast, all in that last 3.5 year, what's called the Great Tribulation, that last 3.5 year of the 7-year tribulation. But reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read verses 3 through 10. 3 through 10, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you," and this is obviously Paul writing to the believers at Thessalonica, reminding them that when he was with them, "I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way," speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. While the Holy Spirit has his ministry on the earth right now, sealing believers, drawing people unto Christ, and helping people to see their need of trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. While the Holy Spirit is here, the Holy Spirit basically is keeping the Antichrist and the devil at bay. The Antichrist cannot reveal himself until the Holy Spirit is removed at the rapture. All right? So once the Holy Spirit is removed, and we already looked at Revelation chapter 4 in regards to the rapture of the church, rapture of the believers during the age of grace that we're in right now. When the Holy Spirit is removed, common sense tells you that believers are removed too, because the Holy Spirit to be removed means the Holy Spirit would have to be taken out of every believer. All right? So again, when the Holy Spirit is removed as well as the believers, all right, then verse number 8, "Then shall that wicked," capital W, speaking of the Antichrist, "then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders," which, again, that is his description in Revelation 13, "and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." Look, during that 7-year tribulation, people are going to receive the strong delusion from the Lord because they've rejected Christ. People are rejecting Christ right now, but we're still in the age of grace where, you know, God still lets them live. God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. All right. But when that moment happens, when the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ rise and those which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to be with the Lord, when that moment happens, we have no idea what the world is going to be like. I mean, millions upon millions of people just disappearing in a blink of an eye, right? Because we're told in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that it's the twinkling of an eye. I mean, just gone. I mean, we can't even imagine, you know, what it's going to be like, but we know we'll be a part of it as believers, as God's people, right? But when that moment happens, then that will open up the door for the Antichrist to come with his peaceful treaty for the world and specifically for Israel. All right. But again, I wanted to read that. Let's go to Revelation 13. Because there are some that believe the book of Revelation has already happened. All right. They teach and believe that the book of Revelation is already passed. But the book of Revelation is all about prophecy. It's all about future events because We don't. There's not a one world government right now. There's not a one world religion right now. You have many religions. You have many governments. All right. But during the 7-year tribulation, as Revelation shows us, that there will be a one world dictator. All right. There have been men to rise up in the history of the world wanting to be a one world dictator. I mean, King Nebuchadnezzar, right, of the known world. He was in control of a lot of the world, a lot of the people, and just throughout there. I mean, Adolf Hitler, he wanted to be a big superpower, just all the different things. And every single one of them throughout history have tried to annihilate Israel, annihilate the Jews, and take them into captivity. All right, all precursors to what is going to happen, what's going to come to pass. All right, we kind of looked at Revelation 13 last week. We looked at the first beast, all right, in verse 1 of Revelation 13. John says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, obviously Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. All right. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? I mean, think about in verses 1 through 3, it really does speak of like a governing body. And we kind of looked at the statue that was outside the United Nations building in New York City that's no longer there. All right. And how, you know, that maybe that was a, you know, could have been an indication. I mean, again, because the Bible does say that if it were possible, God's elect, God's people would be and could be deceived by the Antichrist. But as Bible believers, as we read our Bible and we just see certain things happening in the world, it's like, okay, well, the Bible talks about this and just that statue that was there outside the UN building kind of coincides with the description in verse number 2, all right? Was like unto a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, the dragon gave him his power. And you think about, again, verses 1 through 3 really kind of describes a governing body. Well, the UN is like a governing body. NATO is like the military arm. But also think about this, the WHO, the World Health Organization, is a governing body. And it is a governing body that has somebody that is the director general of it. And right now, I haven't kept up with it, haven't heard anything else about it, but Biden had introduced, the Biden administration had introduced some amendments to the World Health Organization that if it passes, if we as America don't stop it, because we are a sovereign country, Biden wants to give control over to the World Health Organization, all under the guise of, you know, world health, keeping everybody safe, you know, for the next world pandemic that's coming. All right, but when you think about a governing body, well, if this World Health Organization gets world control, well, that would mean one man of that organization would be in control, all right? And that is who he is right now. This is the current, he just got reelected for his second term. So he has officially has 5 years, all right, 5 years as the director general, all right? And he says we cannot achieve health for all without vaccines for all right? So really, I mean, he is big into, you know, vaccines, and the COVID vaccine was not good. People are still dying from it. Young athletes, you still hear about young athletes just dropping dead on the, you know, on the athletic field and all kinds of things, all right? Never in the history of our country with vaccines have you seen so many deaths and just continuing, all right? So, I mean, just kind of putting it into perspective, we don't know who the Antichrist is, but you can see some precursors to it. You can see some possibilities that, you know what, if this organization does get world control, well, he would have the power to shut down countries and, you know, force things on people, all right? So just thinking about what is going to transpire the second part of the seven-year tribulation. Remember, because the first 3.5 years, it's peace. The Antichrist, you know, he comes up with this peace treaty. Everybody, all the enemies of God, you know, they're at peace with Israel. Israel is able to build the third temple there on the Temple Mount. Everything is good, but then at the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist totally voids out the peace treaty by sitting in the rebuilt temple, sitting on a throne, on a authoritative seat, and says, "I am God, and you're going to worship me as God." In the Jews, as we already looked at, many will flee to that city of Petra, and be protected by the Lord, right? And he'll make war with the remnant that did not flee, all right? And you've got the Jewish evangelists that'll be preaching during those 3.5 years and people getting saved, Jews and Gentiles alike, all right? But now when you think about verses 4 through 10, all right, just think about verse number 3. One of his heads, how many heads did this beast have? All right, you go back up and it tells us 7 heads, all right, 7 heads, 10 horns. So one of the heads of the governing body is wounded to death, and his deadly wound is healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. All right, now it kind of focuses in on one person, all right, one person who was part of this governing body who is assassinated, but then is resurrected, okay? Think, the devil has always been a counterfeit. He's always tried to imitate what God does. Again, reminding us when Moses was standing before Pharaoh and would throw his rod down, turn into a snake. Well, Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing. They threw down their rods and they turned into snakes, all right? They even was able to turn some water into blood. And that's why it kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. But then God's judgment upon Egypt became harsher. And the magicians even would say, "This is nothing but the hand of God. This, we can't do this," right? So the devil does have some power. And he can give that power to men. But it's limited, all right? Again, he's not equal to God. He is a creative being with some power. But his power is limited. But now the focus is on one man that comes out of this governing body, because it says in verse 4, they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" So again, the devil being an imitator, all right, he imitates the resurrection because Jesus rose from the grave, right? And now this man seems to be resurrected, all right? But it is believed that the devil just enters into the body just as he entered into Judas Iscariot, all right? Because the Bible says of Judas Iscariot that the devil entered into him, all right? He's basically sold his soul to the devil, all right? They worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Now the dragon obviously gives power to the first beast, and we're going to get to it, but verse 11, there is a second beast that John sees. All right, the first beast rises from the sea, which the sea represents the Gentile nations. But in verse 11, John sees, he says, "I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." So throughout scripture, when it talks about the sea, It represents the Gentile nations. Earth or land would represent Israel, all right? So it seems like this second beast arises from God's own people, from the Jews. All right? Now, again, that's really speculation. We still don't know because God hasn't revealed everything, but he has revealed some things. All right? Verse 11 and continuing on, it really speaks about a false prophet. All right? But again, the dragon gives his power. He gives his power to the first beast, and he gives his power to the second beast. So just even before we go any further, think about this. Again, Satan is mentioned, the devil, the dragon, who gives power unto that first beast, all right, and resurrects that first beast. And then John sees later, not the same time, but later, a second beast, all right, which will be the one world religion, the false prophet, all right. But you see something there, you have Satan the dragon, you have first beast, the Antichrist, the second beast, which is the false prophet. And the false prophet is going to promote the first beast, promote the Antichrist, and get everybody to worship the Antichrist. You know what that is? Is a copy of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Because God's the giver of life. He's the creator. Jesus is the savior. And the Antichrist is the savior of the world. He brings a peace treaty. Okay? So we think about the Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws people to Christ and helps us to worship in spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit points people to Christ. The Holy Spirit helps people to even have faith towards Christ. When you read Revelation 13, you have Satan, the dragon. You have the Antichrist, who is the savior of the world. And you have the false prophet. And the false prophet is telling people, worship the Antichrist. So it's a satanic trinity. They're not one, because the Bible tells us that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, those three are one, right? One in the same. But here's a satanic trinity, because the devil is all about copying God. What did the devil say in Ezekiel? I will be like the Most High. He can't be the Most High, but I'll be like him. I'll copy what he does. I'll copy what he does to lead people astray. So the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, they are a satanic trinity, right? Because the Antichrist and the prophet can't do anything without the devil giving them power. That's what it says. Notice again in verse number 1. It says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So the Antichrist, the governing body, and then later the man of sin, all right, the son of perdition, has no power of his own. It's power given to him by Satan. Remember, Satan tried giving Jesus his power in the wilderness. When he kept tempting him, and we have those three examples of, well, if you're the Son of God, cause these stones to be made bread, because Jesus was hungry. Jesus allowed himself to suffer hunger. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. He allowed himself to have a human body, but he was still God, and he refused. And then Satan, you know, right, takes him on a pinnacle of the temple, says, well, cast yourself down. Quote scripture to him, and Jesus wouldn't do it. Then he takes him up into a mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, I'll give you all this, bow down and worship me. Well, the man mentioned in verse 4, who was part of the governing body in the last days, those 7 years, he wants that power. He wants that position. Apparently it seems like because one of the heads of this governing body is assassinated, it seems like there's a power struggle at some point between kings, between government authorities, that, you know what, they want the main position. And there's a struggle, and one man is killed. But at some point, I don't know, again, the devil wanting to copy everything God does, maybe 3 days later, you know, after 3 days, the Antichrist arises alive, his wound is healed, and everybody marvels and is, okay, we want him to be the leader. We want him to be, and the other kings, the Bible tells us, the other kings at that time will give their power to that one man because, you know what, he's not like anybody else. He is demonically possessed because Satan enters into him, all right? All of this during the 7-year tribulation, not right now. But again, right now we can see different governing bodies that want to have world power, want to have control. Again, man has wanted from the days of Nimrod, wanted to have, you know, the ultimate authority, the ultimate power, and to be worshipped by people, all right? To be worshipped as a god. Nebuchadnezzar was worshipped as a god. Caesar was worshipped as a god. Just world leaders have been worshipped as gods throughout the history of mankind. And again, it says in verse number 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So obviously he's not a godly leader, right? He's a satanic leader, blaspheming God, blaspheming God's temple, blaspheming the word of God, blaspheming God's people, and even the ones that are out of his reach and they're in heaven, all right? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So the Antichrist, he's able to overcome the saints, to kill them. Remember, back in, I believe it's Revelation chapter 3, because Revelation chapter 4 is the rapture, and I think it's in Revelation 3, but remember, the souls, the spirits that were under the altar of God, crying out, when will there be revenge upon our blood? These were martyr saints. And God said, you know, your brothers must suffer in like manner. All right, so again, Revelation is not in chronological order. It's 4 retellings of the same events. So in chapter 13, as it says, that the Antichrist will make war against the saints, and he will slaughter not only Jews but believers as well, right? Those who refuse to take the mark, those who refuse to worship him, right? Their blood is not shed, you know, without God noticing it. God's the righteous judge, and as we read in 2 Thessalonians, God is going to judge in the end. God's righteous judgment will come against the Antichrist, against the false prophet, and against all that are against Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain. All right. Can we fix somehow? I don't know if it's why it keeps doing that. But notice again, we kind of touched on this last week, but those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be the ones to worship the devil and basically sell their soul to the devil and take the mark of the beast. So it's not that, you know, believers during the tribulation will, you know what, well, I got to protect my family, so I'm just going to take the mark of the beast, and, you know, God's grace is sufficient, and God will forgive me. No, during this time, born-again believers, those who trust Jesus Christ during this time, will not take the mark at all. There will not be any Christians who take the mark of the beast in their right hand or their forehead. All right? They will die for their faith. Because again, it tells us at the end of this chapter that every single person who refuses to take the mark of the beast, they're killed. They're beheaded. Okay? So, in verse 11 through 18, all right, we have the false prophet. Because again, you have to have a false prophet. You got to have a one world religious leader who is going to lead the world in worshiping this false Christ, this Antichrist. In verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Two horns like a lamb, he spake as a dragon. Obviously, clearly tells you he's not a lamb. Who's the lamb? Jesus Christ, right? But he has two horns. Two horns notate that his power is limited, all right? His reign is going to be limited because Jesus, you go back to the beginning of Revelation, it talks about the lamb having seven horns. Jesus is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's number is seven. Seven is perfection. Seven is completion, right? Seven is, infinite. God has all infinite power. God has all infinite rule, okay? So the two horns like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. So this false prophet is not leading people in worshiping Jehovah, not leading people in worshiping and following Jesus Christ, but following a man and leading people in idol worship as an image, as a statue will be erected of the Antichrist, and people will be killed if they do not worship this image. Again, verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So it just tells you, again, he's the one that leads people in worshiping the Antichrist, all right? And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Well, what prophet in the Bible did that? What prophet in the Bible had fire come down from heaven? Elijah on Mount Carmel. He prayed and God sent fire and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the altar, consumed the water in the trench, consumed the dust and everything. Guess who the Jews are waiting for, because they know that God said Elijah must come before the Messiah. So here's a false prophet is going to have fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. So how can you get the Jews to follow the false prophet? Well, this must be Elijah because he's called fire down from heaven, and Elijah must come before the Messiah comes. And what did Jesus say of John the Baptist? If you'll receive it, this is Elijah, because the spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist. And Jesus Christ, being the Messiah, had come. But the Jews as a nation rejected him. The religious leaders of the day wanted to kill him, wanted to get rid of him, and they got their wish. There came a day when he was crucified, but 3 days later he rose victorious, because you can't kill the Prince of Life. You can't kill, you know, Jesus Christ, who's the giver of life. All right? But again, here's Satan. He's mimicking everything that God has done, everything that God's prophets have done. All right, so he calls fire down from heaven, which causes non-believing Jews, non-believing Gentiles, oh, this must be him. Look at his great power. No one else can do this. All right, so he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Again, it's the beast, it's the Antichrist that gives him, or the Satan that gives him this power, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Let's make a statue to the Antichrist. again, man has been making statues of himself and having people worship. Nebuchadnezzar made a golden statue. And his golden statue, his golden statue was so tall. I mean, and when you heard the music, wherever you were at, you're supposed to drop down and worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had built, right? But obviously we read there's three Jews that did not bow down and worship. And what happened? Well, they got thrown into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar said, if anybody doesn't bow down and worship my image, they're going to be killed. Isn't it interesting that here it is, the last 7 days or the last 7 years, specifically the second part we're looking at, that man still wants an image of himself for people to worship? Now, we keep reading, and the false prophet is able to give life to this image, life to this statue, whatever it is, all right? And again, our technology is rapidly advancing, you know, in this world and in our country, that who knows what this image is going to be, some gigantic robot, you know? We don't know, but again, there's an image made, all right? Because Satan wants to be like God. Satan has entered in this man who was the man of sin, but now he's the son of perdition because Satan has given him power, whether Satan indwells him bodily, right? The Bible doesn't say, but he gives him power, all right? Satan wants to be worshipped. All false religions in the history of man, even in our day, have statues for people to worship. Buddhism has statues. Hinduism has statues. Catholicism has statues. Now they, well, this is angel so-and-so and Mary and you know what? But you go back to Exodus, and God tells his people, do not make graven images. Not of things in heaven, not in things on the earth. Right? But false religions do, because that's the devil. The devil's behind every false religion. Every idol worship, the devil is behind. All right? And it just makes sense that in these last days, that when the Antichrist is ruling, obviously Satan himself, he wants worship. And you're going to bow down, those who are not saved, those who are not trusting Christ during that time, they're going to bow down and worship the golden image so that they save their necks, so that they continue getting pharmaceutical needs and getting food, right? Because, again, this false prophet, are there false prophets today? Are there false religious leaders today that portray themselves to be followers of Christ? Yeah. Do you know how to tell a false prophet? One who does not teach the Bible, one who does not teach people to follow Christ, but one who says, follow me. Now, Paul made the statement, follow me as I follow Christ. All right? The older people in here would remember Jim Jones. Does that name ring a bell? Jim Jones. What's he known for? Anything good? But he preached from the Bible. Actually preached from the King James Bible. But there was a day during a church service that he threw the Bible down and said, you love that book more than me, to the congregation. Some left. Others that were simple, naive, and not really following the Lord followed him to their death, as they would go to an island and drink the poisonous Kool-Aid. That's satanic. A man who will promote himself above Christ, right? Again, there have been men, and there are women as well, that pretend to be, prophets of the Lord, but leading people to hell, leading people not in following the Lord, not in obeying God's word, but doing what they want, okay? Again, when you think about what's going on, there's going to be a false prophet. there's multiple denominations, multiple religious avenues, you know, in our world, but there's coming a day when there will only be one religion accepted, and that is the religion of the Antichrist. Again, I'll keep saying this, as a born-again believer, I don't have to worry about that. I'm not going to be here during that time. But we do, as believers, need to understand what's going to take place so we can warn other people, so we can even, you know what, not play into the devil's games. Now, when you think about, skipping forward here, when you think about verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, so there's slavery during this time, all right, there's some type of slavery, whether it's people still in prison, you know, for crimes they committed, but it kind of seems like there's slavery, all right, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, when the mark of the beast is taught and preached, generally people only refer to, oh, it's a number. But verse 17 says there's a mark. It might be the name of the beast. It might be the number. Okay, so some people are going to have the number. Some people are going to have the name or a mark. But it didn't say and, it says or. All right, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. All right, so there's some identity to those who have aligned themselves up with the Antichrist and the Antichrist system of the world at that time. Everything's been a trial run throughout history. COVID-19. You couldn't go into a store unless you had a mask on. Now, some people would defy that and just have, you know, down like this, right? And if someone said, get that mask over your nose, pull it down even more, all right? But there was a trial run. How many people are just going to obey because, you know what, if you want to buy your food, you got to have your mask on to go into the store? I thought it was kind of ridiculous that Menards had a big sign out, no kids allowed in this store. Why? I mean, you couldn't bring any kids in, not even teenagers. Yeah. And they've been talking about, you know, the passports, the, you know, COVID-19 passport to prove you've been vaccinated, you know, all this stuff, all right, digital currency, but it's all a trial run because, you know, not everybody, you know, falls in line. There's people that buck up against that, especially in America because, you know, wait, you know, we're the land of the free, right? But there's so many people, even now, I was at the store the other day and there's some ladies wearing a mask. I'm thinking, they already came out and said the masks don't work, right? I mean, the governing bodies, World Health Organization, who's the other one, the CDC, they already came out and said, okay, the masks don't work. But because some people have been programmed in their mind, they don't hear that, they still believe the mask. So it's all in preparation of what's coming, all right? We don't know what the mark of the beast is going to be. Nobody does, all right? I say nobody as in the common people. Common people, you don't know what it's going to be, but we see things that it could be, all right? Like I said before, like I said last week, back when the Social Security numbers first came out, preachers were preaching against it because it's a number and everybody has to have a number. And I remember one time talking to somebody, and even when credit cards came out, they were preaching against credit cards. That's a number. Everyone has a number, right? And the Bible says, you know, the number, all right? But it's specific. God is very specific and says what the number is. It's 666. But it's everything else is a precursor leading up to it. Just getting people used to having a number, right? Just having a number, no big deal, right? Wear your mask, it's no big deal. You know, get the vaccine, it's no big deal, right? Well, it is a big deal because, again, people are still dying from getting that vaccine, all right? Because, again, man is behind destruction of man. You have one man, I'll leave him nameless, you probably know who it is, but, you know, he's all about world depopulation, all right? He wants to cut the world's population down. He's a multi-billionaire. I mean, he is the number one donor, financial donor to the World Health Organization. He is, you know, he was a software developer who has now turned, you know, like a world leader, and everybody listens to him, all right? So again, just all these things happen, but notice, right, no man may buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, all right? So the RFID chips, you know, people are getting those in their hands right now, all right? I mean, it's about the size of a grain of rice, all right, with a lot of information, you know, all your information on it, and they can put it right up under your skin, all right? It's not the mark of the beast, but, you know, it's, again, it's getting people conditioned to, you know, it's not a big deal because we live in a technology age where, you know, people want things to be simple for them, right? I mean, I can do all my banking on my phone. I don't have to go to the bank anymore, right? Information is just at our fingertips, whatever we want to do, right? And there are people that, wow, if I can just have everything in a chip and I don't have to worry about having keys to unlock doors. I forget that was this was like a long time ago and I saw it several years ago, but over in Europe somewhere, there was a company that were the first ones where their employees all signed up to get this implanted chip here, and they could open up doors and stuff without codes and stuff because it would read the chip, and as soon as they got to it, the door would unlock. They'd be able to go in, the computers would unlock, everything like that. Say it again. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, because we live in an age where people want simplicity, but they don't realize by accepting everything that comes out, well, you're just helping promote the end. You're allowing your freedom to be taken away. So, I mean, this one, and then there's this called the quantum digital tattoo. This is this little, I don't know if you want to call it contraption, this little device here. It has these points on it. Now this picture only shows four points, but it actually has like it's like 9 or 12 points, and they have a dye, and they put it down in your skin, and that dye goes into you, and then with a special light, they can see. I mean, you can't see it with the naked eye, but the special light, then you would see that dye. And it's a how do they describe it? It's the fireflies, you know, the fireflies? You know how they light up, they have that chemical? Well, this is based off of that. Because, you know, when you get that firefly dye on you, it's still glowing, right? So they said it's like that, it's synthetic material, but it's based off of, you know, the firefly. Say it again. The fluorescence, all right? Well, just thinking about that, well, who's the lord of the flies? Satan is. Satan is known by a lot of different names. Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies, right? All these different names. But again, we don't know what the mark of the beast is, but everything man comes out with and convinces people, hey, this will help your life be a lot more simpler, and people just take it, then guess what? When the Antichrist is in rule and they have, oh, here's this mark if you want to be able to buy food, then you gotta take the mark. There'll be some people, oh yeah, no problem, because you know I've had this, I've done this, you know, oh yeah, you know, give me the mark. Because they've rejected Christ. Again, no born-again believer, no Christian, no child of God who's sealed by the Holy Spirit is going to take the mark. All right. right now, Christians kind of go with, some Christians go with the wind. Which way is the wind blowing today? I'll go with that so it benefits me. Okay, but during the tribulation, Christians are going to choose to die rather than come under the authority of the Antichrist, because they know he's not the Antichrist. Those that are being saved during this time under the preaching of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists at the time. Very quickly, we've still got about 7 minutes. All right, just think about the first beast that's mentioned. All right, he's the political power. All right, he's the one world government. He's going to be in complete control. The second beast is the religious power of the world. All right, the false prophet, bringing everybody into a one world religion. And I'll just say this, all of this is being, it will be headed up by the revived Roman Empire, all right? The revived Roman Empire, all right? And these two beasts, the political one, the religious one, are going to be working together through the power of Satan. We'll get to it, but guess what happens to the false prophet? The Antichrist kills him, no longer once, because he wants to have full power, all right? All right, but Satan is behind the one world takeover. Jesus said this in John 5, verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not, right? Came unto his own received him not. He goes on to say, if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. I believe Jesus speaking of this time where the Jews, there'll be many that receive the Antichrist as the Messiah. And based on, you know, being sent a strong delusion by the Lord, this, hey, false prophet, fire, hey, it's Elijah, so that's got to be, it's got to be the Messiah. So yeah, you know, we'll yoke up with him until he starts killing the Jews and demanding to be worshipped. All right. Daniel chapter 7. All right. Daniel chapter 7, because Jesus said, him ye will receive. They would not receive Christ, though his miracles proved who he was, him even raising from the grave. Because remember, those Pharisees came to Pilate and said, you know, we remember that deceiver saying he was going to rise again. I want you to put some guards by the tomb. You know, that way, you know, if anything happens, his disciples, you know, won't spread any false rumors that he arose from the grave. But you realize that there were two eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection that were paid off to lie. When you read in Scripture, there were the two guards that were there. The Bible says when the angels showed up to roll the stone away, those men fell down as dead. Not that they were killed. And then they went to the Pharisees to say, hey, tell them what happened. And they paid them money to lie and say the disciples came and stole him away. The Pharisees knew Jesus Christ rose from the grave, but they were ministers of Satan, not ministers of God, because they weren't leading God's people into following the Messiah, to following Christ. They wanted the worship, because Jesus even said of the Pharisees, they loved to be called rabbi in the marketplace. They loved people greeting them. They loved the high places at the different feasts and stuff. They were all about self-worship and not promoting Jesus Christ. But Daniel chapter 7, just to read this for you, Daniel chapter 7 verse 25 says this, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time, 3.5 years. All right? And then chapter 8, verse 25 says this, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, Jesus Christ, but he shall be broken without hand. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have to lay a hand on the devil. He just will destroy him with the brightness of his coming, destroy him with the sword that proceeds out of his mouth. Chapter 11, verse 36, real quick. It says, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined, shall be done. It's already determined what's going to happen. Antichrist is going to rise. False prophet's going to rise. God's people are going to be persecuted. All the saints during that time will be hunted down, beheaded. God will protect some during that time. Again, we're talking after the rapture. That's why we have such great peace, is that the Bible plainly tells us that those that are living in the church age right now, the age of grace, we're raptured out before the Antichrist is revealed, before all of this happens. All right? And one last place I want you to think about. Because he only is given 7 years. And when you even think about the 7 years, the first 3.5 years is peace. The second 3.5 is war, destruction, and God pours out his wrath and judgment upon the world. So he really only has 3.5 years to do his evil deeds. Well, Jesus ministered for 3.5 years. So again, the devil just always copying everything that God did. All right, because he's a fake, he's a fraud, he's a deceiver. But Revelation chapter 19, last place, because here's the fate of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Revelation 19, verse 20. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So their power and their time is very limited. Now there's going to be a lot of destruction in that 3.5 years. But we serve a righteous God. We serve a God who is holy and just, and just because it seems like the devil, you know, has been just wrecking havoc for thousands of years since the Garden of Eden, God's still in control, and he is going to judge the devil, the beast, the false prophet. They will be cast into the lake of fire, right? But again, when you think about Revelation, God is a loving God that he hasn't forsaken his people. He hasn't forsaken Israel, hasn't forsaken his chosen people, the Jews. But he's given us this time, us as in Gentiles and all the nations, plus Jews, given us this time of grace to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive God's mark upon ourselves, which is the mark of the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That's God's mark. Remember the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, they get the mark of God's number on their forehead. And the devil, the Antichrist, can't do anything to them until their ministry is done. Can't do anything to the two witnesses that God sends until their ministry is done. I mean, it's amazing to see, but again, we got to be careful that we just don't receive and believe everything that the world shows us and tells us. All right? Hollywood will continue to produce Antichrist material. The public school systems will still promote anti-God propaganda, right? God made male, female. But the world says, oh no, there's multiple genders. Right? No, God's the creator. God gave life to man and he created male, female, right? But because of people's wicked hearts and being lovers of darkness, well, they're drawn to the wickedness of this world. But the light of Christ still shines forth through his churches, through his people, to give people hope and to show people that, you know what, you're living in darkness. You need the light of Christ in your life. So again, I'm just amazed by Revelation. It's just, again, some people may say, Pastor, why are we even going through it? Because we're not even here for it. Because it's in the Bible. Right? It's in the Bible, and we need to be reminded what is going to happen so that we're prepared for the time that we're living in. So we are occupying, as Jesus said. So we're being like we talked about Wednesday, being an example of the believers. I believe what the Bible says, right? I believe what the Bible says, and I want other people to know as well that God loves them, and God doesn't want anyone to have to go through that time, right? But again, God being a righteous judge, it's coming, right? And you and I right now, we have the opportunity to pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for the hearts of the Jews to turn to their Messiah before they have to enter into those 7 years, right?